Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Vinny and Haiti, put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
That's four good starts in a row for him. Really happy for and encouraged by how he's throwing the baseball. Thought he had multiple pitches going tonight. He had confidence. He attacked. He was on the plate. I don't think he walked a batter. He was forcing contact. That's a pretty good club and a good lineup, and mixed pitches extremely well tonight. You know, there's always an adjustment period in the big leagues, and he's going to have his ups and downs, but the guy's got a ton of, he's got big time tools and a ton of ability. You saw the power tonight, and he's doing an unbelievable, he just got a shutout as a rookie. It's the second one, I think, in a week. He's doing great. I mean, we played incredible defense tonight. We took away multiple extra base hits. Santander there with the play on Vaughn, a tough line drive over his head and left, but Hazy with a throw and the catch on the line and Cedric going in the gap. I mean, they're playing gold glove defense, so, they won us the game tonight defensively.
I tell you what, things weren't hazy with Hayes last night with the glove and the arm. Again, Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager, another positive outing for his crew. Second straight shutout, 4-0 over the White Sox. And, you want me to do like a replication of the highlights? Because, we're kind of limited in that area.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get into business aspects of what we're allowed to do.
Because we got
to
get Chicago radio.
But I tell you what, the Orioles win again. Kind of makes me run hot a little bit that they lost to the Nats in that first game 3-0. Because you're trying to stack wins. And before we get into the particulars from last night, Jim Hunter made a good point last night on Baltimore baseball tonight, how the Orioles' inconsistencies can be like a double-edged sword because you don't put together – their longest winning streak's been three games. You can't string together a bunch of wins because when you get Jordan Lyles pitch well enough to win, but you got no run support. But they're not – bad enough where you're going to lose 17 in a row. They had that six-game losing streak back in May.
Yeah.
But other than that six-game losing streak, they've been kind of clanking around 500. But the inconsistencies with the rotation and with the runners in scoring position, and you don't want this to become a team that it's all or nothing. If they don't hit homers, they don't score. But they're kind of a average team. And average in this division means you're not horrible. Now, they're behind, and they're not catching New York, Toronto, Boston. Who knows what's going on with Tampa because they have a ton of injuries. But the Orioles now can go out there every day, night, whenever they play, and you can watch them going, they're going to get killed tonight. That's something. Hey, there's no bigger Oriole fan than me. And from 2018 to last year, trust me, you're dreading games. Like, their ass is kicked. And I got to sit through nine innings of this?
Well, usually
it's like watching a car wreck over and over and over again.
Well, before, you'd always say, I checked out after three. They were down by six. They ain't coming back.
Yeah, and it's a tough gig.
Right.
And even if they do fall behind by that margin this time, they scrape away because they have some pretty bona fide bats in that lineup. But Dean Kramer, let's start with him because Rutschman's going to be the story. But Dean Kramer, four starts in, should have won last Friday. It's his second scoreless outing as he got into the sixth inning again. Came over in the Manny trade along with Yusnail Diaz and Zach Pop and Rylan Bannon and all of those guys. And his first, three starts in 20, he was good. Beat the Yankees. His first ever start, he beat the Yankees down at Camden Yards. Then he got rocked in his last start. 2021, if you had a mind eraser, not the drink, I'm talking about something that could literally exercise memories from your mind. Maybe the drink would help do that, by the way. He'd want to forget 2021 because that was about as disastrous a year as you could have. And then he gets hurt warming up in the bullpen in the first series of the year against Tampa.
Yeah.
All right, this guy's going to turn out to be a scrub. But here he is a couple months later, and next to Tyler Wells, he's been their best pitcher over the last couple of weeks, starting pitcher. So he gets the win, well-deserved. Bullpen, again, outstanding. Lopez just like, take them bats and put them in the dugout because you got no chance. Faces two guys, strikes them both out. As Dylan Tate, yeah, a little runner issues there. So, Dean Kramer, tip of the cap to you. Your man bun's now acceptable. Whatever it is you
got
to do.
Ever since he got the man bun, Bob, he's been off the chart.
Yeah, because I'm a man bun.
Plus, he looks like and I said this last time when we talked, you know, he just looks like a much more confident guy on the mound.
And talking to John Mioli about that very subject yesterday, remember? He's like, he wears his emotions on his sleeve when he's got the cockiness and the chest is puffed up. He's going to rock.
Yeah.
When his shoulder's a little slumped, he's not long for the game. And that chest has been puffed out, and rightfully so. But how about old Adley Rutschman? Oh, ye of little faith. Yeah, a couple of numbers here. And me and Jim were talking about it last night. First 13 games, he was bad. The last 14 now, Orioles are above 500 since he became the starting catcher. His last 44 at-bats, which is essentially 2 weeks, he's hitting .318, two homers, seven ribbies, .362 on-base percentage. His OPS, which is slugging and on-base combined, .998. It's almost 1,000. That puts you among the league leaders in that category. 10 of his last 14 hits have been extra base hits. So you're seeing the bat play from both sides of the plate. And I'm not one of these expected hit this, expected hit that. I mean, I expect to win the lottery. I don't.
Right.
Okay, hit the ball 1,000 miles an hour. If it's at the shortstop, it's an out. That usually tells you, however, that you're swinging good and the hits are going to fall. And you didn't need nerd stats to tell you that. You would have recognized that 30 years ago. But even his outs are loud. You saw it the other night in the first game against
the first baseman. Nats.
He's just like he's hitting liners all over the place. It was going to be an adjustment period for him. He usually starts slow. And then once he processes things, and you knew from the jump he had a great eye at the plate.
Yes.
Once he starts to process, the results are going to be there. And the results are there. I'm not saying he's going to win the Rookie of the Year by any stretch of the imagination, but now we're seeing, and how smooth is he behind the plate, by the way?
Yeah,
he's see the tag last night? Just a little
He's calm, good at tagging.
Little sweeps tag. See you, Larry Sheets' son.
He's been good at that from the get-go.
Yeah, and Bobby Witt could turn out to be a Hall of Famer for all we know. But don't worry about Adley Rutschman. The results now, we're talking about, don't worry about what happened in his first couple weeks. Talk about what's happening currently. And he's, along with Mountcastle's blasting away with the power numbers. They're putting some hard contact out there on the field for Brandon Hyde.
Yeah, between the two of them, 5-for-8.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk more about the Orioles as the program rolls on. It's Featured Artist Friday. That reveal's coming up next. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. But when we come back, Vinny, we're going to revisit the Goose. Marvin Lewis, who was defensive coordinator on that team. Going to talk about Tony Siragusa, that defense, what Marvin's up to now. They got like a lot of famous names out at Arizona State.
Yes, they do. And he's one
of them. So Marvin Lewis joining us next to talk about Goose and other football happenings here on The Fan.
until the Gold Club opens.
Make it rain.
Vinny and Haney.
Better grab an umbrella.
1057 The Fan.
Uh-oh. Featured Artist Friday. You chose it. The people. It's R.E.M. Agent Orange. Going back to one of their bigger hits from the 80s. R.E.M. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers.
I like this song.
They got some hits. Again, yeah. They're not, you know, when me and my wife Metal Fest, which we'll be doing around 11 o'clock tonight, that means we listen to music as we're getting drunk. R.E.M.'s not the first band that pops in my head. You know what I mean?
Right.
As a matter of fact, Vinny, full disclosure, they never.
Who's her favorite?
She likes Foo Fighters, Coldplay, Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes. Who's the band that sings about they're going to steal your shoes? Foster the People. That sort of thing. God. The one guy's married to a Kardashian now, the drummer. Travis Barker. What band is that? Blink 182. Stuff that the old Bobster wouldn't be normally choosing. But we both have a mutual like of classic rock, Motown. Like, we can put in Al Green or Barry White and enjoy it immensely. But as I've said before, and I'm certainly showing my age, anything after 1995, old Bobster has a hard time tolerating, to be honest with you. But it is Featured Artist Friday, and as Vinny said, REM, they do have a couple of happening tunes,
yeah,
and they were influential in their time. I don't know if they've released anything over the last few years, but that's who we chose. That's who we're listening to. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Featured Artist Friday, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato joining us now. Talk about remembrances of a personality and a player who's moved into the big football field in the sky. And, you know, a lot of great memories surrounding him and that particular team. So welcome back to the show, Coach Marvin Lewis. Marvin, thanks for joining us. Good morning and happy Featured Artist Friday. Hope you're a fan of REM.
Good morning. How you doing, Bob? Penny, how are you?
Good. Good, Marv.
Coach, let's start with the 2000 Super Bowl, 2001. And, you know, I was at WNST with Nestor at the time. And we were down in Tampa for Media Day. And Ray Lewis had a bazillion people near his kiosk. Shannon Sharpe had a bazillion people near his. And Tony Siragusa was kind of right there with him. Why was he such a captivating character on Super Bowl, with Media Day, that Super Bowl 35, with all of the personalities on that team, his was as big as any?
Yeah, well, Tony's, you know, his story was a tremendous story. Literally coming to the National Football League as a college free agent and doing what he'd done and as a player, everything he meant to us, an extension really of the coaches out on the field. Everybody talks about Goose and his size, but his athleticism and his smarts really made him a really great contributing player to that team.
How did he, he was there when Ray was drafted a year before Tony came in, and then McCrary and Bulware and Woodson and the rest. How did his personality mesh with a team that had a ton of personality, especially on defense?
Well, Tony was one of those guys who, you know, on Sunday was going to give you everything he had. Now, Wednesday through Friday, he was going to, like, we really got to do this. But on Sunday, you could count on him, and he would do everything he could to put that football team on his shoulders. Like you said, we got Goose a year after we drafted Ray, and started adding the pieces, you know, year after year after that. And so that was really good. And Goose was always the guy that physically you could count on. He kept everything light and spirited all the time in anything we did.
Hey, Marvin, what did you guys see, like, at Pitt? You know, because I know you got, you know, close affiliations to Pitt and stuff. So what made you guys want to bring him in as an undrafted guy?
Well, actually, you know, the Colts signed him, and he played for Coach Marchibroda in Indy. And Coach Marchibroda just loved Tony. And, you know, he was the one who was the proponent to bring Tony to the team. And I had really didn't know Goose, even though I had coached at Pitt. I came there right as he was leaving, and he was not around at all that spring. So my first chance to meet him was when he came on his free agent visit. And he was so captivating with everybody. And, you know, it was just a great fit for us.
How did he get along with all his teammates, Marv?
Oh, he got along great with them because he always razzed them, no matter what. You hated to be the punter or the kicker or you know, because he was giving them hell all the time. He never called them by their name. He called them by their number. I mean, he was just, you know, in the life of the party all the time. I said he was kind of the straw that stirred the drink, you know, day after day. And it wasn't a competition that Goose didn't figure out a way to win.
Marvin Lewis joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, defensive coordinator for the 2000 Ravens. Tony Siragusa, anchor on that D-line, passing away earlier this week, tragically, unexpectedly, and we're celebrating his life and his career. But that defense, in particular with Adams, and it was a 4-3 old school defense. Oh, well, you ran it, so you know better than anybody. But Goose and Burnett and Adams and McCrary and the linebackers and the secondary. When did you realize, Marvin, or did you at the time, that there was potentially an historic defense here, which it ultimately turned out to be?
I mean, I think really as we, you know, kind of grew up together, all of us, but as we, you know, you watch the Kurt Warner movie and you can see that we, Kurt Warner, we were his first victory in 99. And, but we knocked the hell out of Kurt the entire game. Our guys played better and better every week. And I think probably that was the realization of things. And at one point, Brian actually came into them and said, asked me if he could talk to the defense on Wednesday morning. And he came in and said, you know, I coached against you a year ago, and now I'm around you and you're mine and I'm with you every day. And, you know, you guys got to figure out how to all do it together instead of, you know, doing your own thing every once in a while. And we give up a play here and a play there and we end up losing. And that's when really I think they really came together and fought more for each other and the fact that let's play 11-man defense and be great at it than they were.
Hey, Marvin, who was the leader of that defense?
I think still you got to, you know, really Rod Woodson, you know, ultimately was the leader because he's the guy who Ray looked up to. Everybody looked up to Rod. When we were bringing Rod in on his free agent visit, and I asked Mike McCrary to meet us for dinner, and he was like, Marv, I can't do it. I go, why? He goes, because I might screw it up. It's Rod Woodson. And, you know, it just really, those guys all just kind of came together that way. Goose up, you know, being so smart up front and always being able to really take the game plan in on the field on Sunday into that huddle of what we're going to do. We did so much by back sets and tendencies and things, and those guys up front were so smart they could handle that.
Hey, Marvin, what was it? Conducting those meetings, the defensive meeting, that had to been quite challenging. Plus, you got Del Rio, you got Rex, you know, and then you got the cast of characters in there. What was it like running those defensive meetings?
Well, we would meet as a staff between, you know, Rex and Jack and Steve Schaefer, who was the old veteran of the group, and Mike Smith and Donnie Henderson. We had guys who all had great, successful careers as coaches and a lot of ideas all the time flowing and everything. And then you got to the players, like you said, and, you know, Goose doing spitballs in the back of the room at the back of the DB's heads and everything. And those guys wanting to fight him all the time. And, you know, McCrary, you know, trying to figure out the first radar dish and stuff like that with his mind. And there was a lot of personality. James Trapp, who renamed himself Victory during the Super Bowl run. His name was Joe. You know, we weren't sure we were going to get Joe or James. So a lot of personalities on the entire group. And the young guys, Chris McAllister, Dwayne Starks, and you mentioned Boltware, Jamie Sharper, Cornell Brown. We had a lot of other role players, guys, who really did a great job. And it wasn't just 11 guys. You know, we had 17, 18 guys who contributed to that group all the time.
Brad Jackson. Let's give him a shout out too. Marvin Lewis joining us, joining us here. Yeah. Vinny at 81.05.
Brad Jackson. You know, you could tell him he wasn't an all star as well. That's why we love him so much all the time. And you know, so I think Vinny. In fact, I think afterwards, I don't know if it was when I was with you guys in Washington or Baltimore, or later in Cincinnati, we brought Brad in to work out, and he was in bad shape. And I said, "What have you been doing?" He said, "Well, Ray's not working out." I said, "You're not Ray."
Talking about a wake-up call with that one. Hey, Marvin, looking back at that defense now, how does it play today? And it, for us, as we all lived it as it was unfolding live 22 years later, and I know offenses have changed and rules certainly have changed, and does anyone even use a 4-3 defense anymore? But how does that defense play in today's National Football League?
Well, you know, the thing about it, I think it still plays today. You know, the thing that we could do, we could adjust the three wides all the time with our base group because Rod Woodson could cover the slot. We brought in that we played Corey Harris, a safety, as our dime linebacker half the time, or James Trapp. So we had the flexibility that today's defense has had. We had two 10-plus sack year, you know, season plus pass rushers in McCreary and Peter Boulware off the edge. Rob Burnett, who was the third swing guy, swung inside to one of the pass rushing tackles alongside Sam Adams when we got the third down. And we had some other spinner guys that did different things, and the linebackers were all great blitzers and cover guys. So, you know, we had a lot of flexibility that today's groups have because of their athleticism back then in 99 and 2000.
Hey, Marvin, talk about what you're doing now.
Well, now I work with Coach Edwards, Herm Edwards at ASU as the advisor kind of to the program, basically spend a lot of time helping develop our coaches. Having them, you know, have opportunities moving forward as they aspire to do different things in their career, as well as the players. You know, they all come to college football right now, and they just think in 3 years they're going to automatically go to the National Football League. And one of my roles is to try to help those guys understand what it takes day in and day out. And, you know, and as they get closer to that time, really helping them, how do you choose an agent? Why do you need an agent? What's the best kind of agent for you? Reminding them the agent doesn't get you drafted. It's what you do on tape that gets you drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that, as well as help with Donnie Henderson is our defensive coordinator now, Antonio Pierce last year, and really assist them with putting the plan together and helping them and their questions and so forth, and giving them a breakdown of what I feel about the opponent we're about to play, strengths and weaknesses. So it's been a lot of fun being with Herm, and we got a big season ahead of us, you know, with this transition of the portal and everything right now. We had a meeting last Sunday, Vinny, with some of the guys that are joining summer school starting tomorrow or Monday. And literally, there's three or four guys in that room. I had no idea who they were. It's a different age in college football right now.
Yeah, and if you don't have money, you can't go get any good recruits.
Right. You better have some people in your corner with that NIL stuff and so forth. Well, there's no name, image, and license. Basically, it's pay for play. And you can't, you know, I see very little images and likeness out there, but you see a lot of guys getting paid.
Yeah, no video games anymore. It's all about what kind of car am I driving. Marvin Lewis,
exactly.
Defensive coordinator for the 2000 World Champion Baltimore Ravens. So he's a Super Bowl champ. Of course, took the Bengals to the playoffs many times now out there in Arizona State. Oh, Marvin, we don't want to keep you too long, but still hopes to coach again someday, running a program or an NFL team.
I really, you know, kind of thought that a year ago and didn't have an opportunity, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, I would love to, you know, really coach and be in charge, but also help lift up some other people, some other coaches and so forth, and help them achieve their goals as well.
Marvin, appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Marvin. Tell Ray I said hello, guys, too, when you see him.
All right, I will. All right, good to talk to you.
All right, hit him straight.
All right. All right, Marvin Lewis, defensive coordinator, talking about the life and career of Tony Siragusa, somewhat underrated, I guess, as a football player. Yeah. We think of him as this larger-than-life character, but he could play. And Brian Billick said it himself, said without Tony Siragusa, we don't win the Super Bowl that year, but pay for play. name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
We'll come back, reset the program for you. It's Featured Artist Friday. It's Rem here on The Fan.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of The Fan.
REM, Featured Artist Friday, chosen by you, the people. This is what Norm sings when he's staring in the mirror, brushing his teeth every day. I am Superman, baby. What's going on, Norm? Let's bring him in early today. It's Friday, it's a little overcast in Baltimore. Orioles have won two in a row. Creeping closer to 500. Kramer's looking great. Rutschman's raking. Mountcastle bashing away. We know the dates for training camp, which we'll talk about here in a second. How are you feeling on this Friday?
Well, I guess now's a good time to maybe issue a little apology to Dean Kramer. I think a couple weeks ago I might have had some not terrible comments, but we were talking about the Manny trade, I think, at the time. I don't remember the exact context, but the trade with the Dodgers, and I think I might have said that would have settled for anybody, would have been better than what the Orioles got in return. But like it's one game at a time. And right now, he's stringing them together. And John Mioli said it yesterday. When he's hot, he's hot. When he's not, he's not. So,
well, you can kind of tell when he's going to be hot and when he's going to be not. And we're not talking about his man bun, by the way. We're talking about the way he throws the baseball. And he gets his breaking stuff and his secondary's working. I mean, doesn't fastball mid-90s-ish. It's all about location, too. Yeah, and he definitely benefited from some defensive play. I mean, Hayes throwing out Gavin Sheets at the plate, and then the diving stops out there on the right field line. I mean, Austin Hayes can literally play all three positions well. Leads, or he's tied for the lead, I believe it is, in the majors with outfield assist. I think the Orioles as a team are tied with the Rangers for that honor, and it is an honor to accomplish that. That's a two-pronged thing, though. Not to digress too much, Norm, we'll get back to your apology because you owe one, certainly. But they still don't respect you enough. They keep running on you.
Yeah.
Because they still think that they're going to achieve success. Sooner or later, teams are going to stop because they know if we try this guy's arm, and Santander's got a hose on him too, Mullins maybe not so much, but if you keep running on the Orioles outfielders, you're going to pay. So what you do, you keep throwing them out, and sooner or later, let's respect them a little bit more.
I'd run on Mullins, you know, but the other guys, I'd be, you know, if I'm the third base coach, you know, Mullins has got to hit the cutoff guy. The other guys, they can hose it to the plate.
And the cutoff guy's got to get out there a little bit too, especially if it's on the warning track. But back to Kramer, Nolan. The guy was terrible last year. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was bad. Until he won his first game this year, he hadn't won a game since his first start. So he had been rough, and they were ugly losses, too. And they went down on the farm to try to regroup, couldn't get it done. But going back to spring training, we had heard and read and talked to people down there covering the team that he looked like a different guy.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry and I interviewed him, Jerry Coleman, at FanFest. So this had to be years ago. So they haven't had FanFest in forever.
Yeah.
I think it was 2019. And he had a little swag to him, and you could tell. This guy.
Did he look like he was in as good a shape now as he did?
He was kind of thin. Not like Chet Holmgren thin, right. But he was a leaner guy. Tall, 6'2", 6'3", but you could tell he had a little attitude with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he pitched like it. And then it's just like, oh, my God, what happened to this guy? And he has reestablished himself. And outside of Tyler Wells, and Lyles pitched well in his last start, bulldogged it into the seventh, they need somebody else because Zimmerman's down on the farm, and he got lit up a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Orioles don't have a starting pitcher for tonight. It looks like Voth is going to get the call as Bradish has been pushed back till tomorrow. Bradish has been getting hammered.
Yeah.
So something needs to stabilize because to stack these wins that we keep talking about, you need consistency either in your rotation, defense, Two of the three got to be good if you want to get a winning streak rolling here. And if you got crappy starting pitching and you don't hit well with runners in scoring position, you're not going to string together a bunch of W's there.
Right. What they need to get to the bullpen, you know, either ahead or tied. And then they got a good chance because their bullpen doesn't give up much.
But the more work they get, and them and Tampa are the two leading innings
they're going to wear out.
Accumulators, right, out of the bullpen. And Tampa uses a bunch of openers. So they basically, you know, they have like three starters and bullpen guys.
Bob, you know what's
I don't
crazy?
Think that's by design here for the Braves.
When we were younger going to the baseball games, I mean, dudes going into the ninth, that was kind of the norm.
Ross Grimsley, our friend, our beloved friend. Earl Weaver had him pitch 13 innings in a spring training game. That's how things have changed. And Ross pitched for 12 years, so no damage done there. When we come back, we'll finish Norm's apology as we get back to clock integrity. And then we're going to talk about the Browns because coming up at 11 o'clock from the Chronicle Telegram, Scott Petrak. Talk about Cleveland, but Deshaun Watson is in the news, and Aaron Wilson's part of it, because they're kind of figuring out what the suspension's going to be, the NFL and the Players Association. Right. Still hearing a year, but we'll talk about that next year on The Fan.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Scott Petrak is going to be joining us top of the hour. Covering the AFC North, we are, as we're, what, less than a month away from rookies. They report on the 19th of July.
Yep.
Veterans on the 26th, which is a little more than a month
what
away.
What day of the week is the 26th? Norm, what day of the week is the 26th?
Break out the 105.7 The Fan calendar, Nolan, if you don't mind.
Oh, here, there's their baseball schedule right there.
Yeah, July 26th is a Tuesday.
So we're assuming, maybe rightfully so, that training camp starts in earnest on the 27th, if the vets report on the 26th.
I would imagine so. The first practice would be the 27th, but then what, you got to go how many days in shorts? What is it, the first 3 days? Because there's only very limited pads.
Yeah, because Cordell Woodland and I were actually talking about that Wednesday at Pickles, getting ready for Baltimore baseball tonight. By the way, 6 o'clock tonight, me and Jim Hunter getting ready for game two of the Orioles White Sox. That we think of training camp as this 2 month long, arduous process. In reality, media, it's pretty much 2 weeks. I mean, you can go on the weekends, obviously, but during the weekdays when we're on the air,
yeah.
It's not a ton of access. You get a lot, but not as much as you used to when the old two-a-days were part of reality.
No. I mean,
you're there all day back in those days.
Yeah, you'd have practice in the morning and then practice in the later afternoon, and guys would be taking naps in between, you know, and both would be padded practices.
No joint practices this year.
Yeah, and Harbs must not like the Arizona people or something, you know, because they're going to remember because Harb's talk, they're going to be out there and they're going to go do team bonding instead of practicing with them.
You're a fan, right? Of
yeah,
the joint
I like
practices.
It. Bob, I did it at every place I was at. And I liked it, you know, like when I've come out to the Ravens and I even went up to Philly when they did the one in Philly, but Chip Kelly was kind of an ass, you know, kind of, I guess what they had planned as a group together, he kind of was going to do what he wanted to do.
Okay.
Yeah. But I like it because it's good on good. You know, you're getting good work against good people.
And after a while, as we know by now, following the NFL, that the players on the team, Ravens versus Ravens, they get sick of seeing each other.
Oh, yeah, you get sick of seeing the same guy all the time. And, you know, I mean, you know his moves. You know what he's going to do. You know, it's like, you know, it just gets monotonous.
And tempers start to flare and all of the fun stuff that goes along with it.
Especially if it gets hot. And, You know, not as much now, just because, Bob, they don't hit. You know, they're not in pads, you know. So it's a much easier, I don't know exactly what the rules are on the number of days that you can have, but you can't have consecutive days in pads. Bob, we used to go 7 days a week, you know. I mean, you didn't know what day. I mean, Sunday was the same as a Tuesday or Wednesday. It didn't matter. You were still doing 2 days, you know.
And olden days restrict you from water and Gatorade, really make you earn it. Now that you could never do that nowadays, and rightfully so. I mean, history has proven that it's not a smart thing from a physical standpoint to have your players endure. But anyway, Scott Petrak's going to be joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram out there in Ohio, and we'll talk about the Browns. And Aaron Wilson, our friend, Pro Football Network, reporting there is a concern from the NFL Players Association that the league will look to suspend Deshaun Watson, and this is after the settlements, by the way, 20 of 24, for the entire 2022 season, if not indefinitely, which is what Bob Glauber, when you were out of camp, Bob Glauber a couple weeks ago said he wouldn't be surprised if it's an indefinite suspension, which could mean, by the way, it could be 5 games. Or it could be 5 years, indefinite. I mean, there's no real absolute in regards to games missed.
I think why the NFL would do that, Bob, is they don't want a Ray Rice type thing where, you know, all of a sudden they hand out 6 games or whatever, and then Deshaun Watson's, you know, got the 4 or 5 more masseuses coming, and, you know, and there's more stuff to it, and then the NFL looks like crap. You know, so I think that's what they're scared of.
Yeah, Jacina Anderson also reporting today that talks between the NFL and the NFLPA and Watson's advisors to negotiate over discipline, and that the talks fell apart over the number of games missed. It definitely looks like, and this is, I guess, the commentary from Roto World, that the momentum of the process is leading towards a lengthy Watson suspension, and the Browns are expected to go forward with Jacoby Brissett. So there you go.
Yeah. See, I think once they, like that New York Times article, I think didn't help him at
66
all.
66 different masseuses.
You know, and then 4 more.
Right, and let's stress that too. Even Norm doesn't go to 66 different. We're talking, you get 66 massages by one person, man, nobody blinks an eye.
Right.
But when you have 66 different, well, that's a person looking for the perfect massage right there.
Bob, the thing about it
maybe
was...
maybe he's already found it. Who knows?
It was in, what, an 18-month period, you know, with 66...
A lot of massaging.
Man.
We don't mean to laugh because these allegations, quite frankly, are very serious.
I mean, yeah, but still, I mean, how do you... I couldn't fathom that.
I'm sensing deviant behavior. That's all I'm going with. And deviant, whatever that interpretation may mean... I mean, the guy obviously has a mindset in regards to how he likes to, you know, relax.
Yeah. Yes. He likes a happy ending.
Don't we all? Like Old Yeller, that was a tragic ending. Happy endings when the shark dies at the end of Jaws. Spoiler alert. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we'll talk about those Browns with Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram in Cleveland. You know, the Watson news has always been here, and it was just a question of when the NFL is going to decide how the suspension will be and how long it's going to be and how that affects them adversely, by the way. So we'll talk to Scott about that. Pecking order of the AFC North as we sit on June 24th. Whip around happening 11:15. Stanley Cup Finals resume tonight. Colorado looking to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup.
Couple be in the house tonight at home in Colorado.
ABC is your viewing pleasure network if you're looking for it. We're going to talk later in the show, by the way, about last night's NBA draft. Surprise at number one? Not really. If you listen to us yesterday, Mike Harmon called it. Banchero goes number one overall to Orlando. Ryan McDonough, former NBA, he was with the Phoenix Suns. He was the GM there. Now an Odyssey NBA insider. Break that down with him at 12:30. So we got the draft covered later in the show. We got Keith Kavanaugh. Oh, Mike Locksley getting some verbal commitments verbal commitments football-wise last couple of days, last week or so. So we get caught up on that. And a status report on Kevin Willard's basketball team there.
Well, yep, that'll be good.
So we got that coming your way as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.